Hello there, you're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Friday the 12th of August. Today, I am joined for the last time this week by Duncan Balcon, who is a Watson's Daily Ambassador. Hi there, Duncan, how are you doing today?
Hi, Peter, I'm great, thanks, how are you?
Yeah, good, very good. What story stood out for you today in Watson's Daily?
Yes, so the story that stood out for me is kind of stood out for a couple of reasons. One is because it's a company that I've become quite fond of and talked about a bit over the last couple of years. And one because it opens the door to a world of fantastic puns, which I think everybody needs on a Friday morning. So we're going to go for that. So the company itself is British Vault. So I've loved the stories of British Vault since they started coming kind of and emerging, just because British startup. Yeah. Building a gigafactory for electric car batteries, doing it all in the UK, I think it's brilliant. Always thought it's brilliant. However, this one is from The Guardian, and it's about the fact that this huge electric car battery factory is on life support to cut costs. So it's talking about the fact that the construction of British Vault's gigafactory, which is in Northumberland, has been put on life support to cut costs, basically until they can unlock the next round of funding for the project. So this is British Vault and ISG, who are the main contractor on the construction side of things, saying it's only applying to some parts of the project, but for the time being, the project is on life support and isn't going to be going, I imagine, very far, very quickly. Insert bump in the road, wheels coming off pun here. It's kind of interesting.
Because I like the energy that you're giving out there.
It's great. So obviously this is interesting on a number of fronts. Firstly, it's interesting that they've chosen to go down the life support option on this, which I think is a good thing in the current climate, because obviously the other option is making a load of redundancies, terminating all the contracts involved, and just putting all the works kind of on hold until kind of next year when they get more funding. It's interesting they've chosen the other route. Like I said, particularly at the moment with the cost of living crisis and stuff, I think any company that's choosing a route that doesn't involve making redundancies is a good thing, even if it obviously slightly harms the company in the process. Now, since obviously this gigafactory was first talked about and then went into construction, I was going to say production. I was like, you don't produce a factory. Construction. Yeah. They have talked a really good game. And obviously it's an industry that is going to flourish, I'd imagine, with obviously everyone meant to be buying electric cars in 8 years' time. Having a gigafactory for the batteries in the UK is going to be amazing. However, this is a bit of a shocker. This is a proper stumbling block. That being said, like I said, because obviously it's an industry that has to grow. We're moving away from traditional fuel cars. So this industry has to grow. There's no two ways about that. If they can kind of, if this life support is successful and they manage to keep the project going, and even if it takes a little bit longer than they wanted, I would imagine that, not great short term, but long term, I can't see them having any issues. And it's one of those projects, we were talking about this earlier, it's one of those projects that actually, it's almost too big to fail. It looks too good on an international scale for the country, for a start, this big gigafactory. I can't see people letting it fail, whether that be private investors, whether that be the government getting involved. It's almost a too prolific project to fail. That's what I find interesting. Like I said, I think short term, this is horrible news. Long term, I think they'll be okay, providing they can keep the project going some way. What was your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll just take on from what you've just said there, which is, I do think that this is a project that is probably too big to fail. It's too high profile. We want to be at the forefront of electric vehicle battery production, and if this doesn't work, then we are going to look pretty stupid. It's interesting that there are lots of high profile backers to the project, that's the other thing as well. It's supposed to be employing 3,000 people by 2028. So, again, and I know they've got, I remember writing recently that they, you know, they've got a like a joint venture with, is it Northumberland College or something, to teach about electric battery technology. So they've got all this stuff, lots of high profile investors. You've got Aston Martin and Lotus have said that they would be interested in buying the batteries. And just to give you an idea of the scale, apparently that gigafactory in Northumberland will be the fourth biggest building in the UK, and it will be the 16th biggest building in the world. So
when you talk about being too big to fail, that's the sort of thing we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it too much,
quite
much
literally
has been put into this.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think this is a, as you say, a bump on the road. Mm-hmm. I think that it's, you know, it will work, but it will be interesting to see how it works in future. But it just means that it's not going quite as well as you might have imagined, but I'm sure that they will get there.
Yeah, like you said, bump in the road, not quite the wheels coming off, and hopefully they'll get back in their own lane, in right lane soon.
There we go.
It's perfect for puns. I mean, that's our mood today. I really apologise.
No problem at all.
That was my favourite story in today's Watson's Daily. What was yours?
So this is quite a serious, it's a very serious story about GSK. So as you know, so GSK, you know, pharmaceuticals giants, its share price tanked by about 10% yesterday. And also the business that it spun off recently, their consumer healthcare business called Haleon, also fell by actually 13%. And the reason is that GSK have this blockbuster drug for stomach ulcers called Zantac, which I think a lot of people will have heard of. Anyway, it is alleged that a constituent of Zantac could be carcinogenic. Now, this opens the door potentially to massive legal claim. As always happens with things like this, it is a very much a how long is a piece of string question in terms of what could the potential impact be to Zantac. So Morgan Stanley have tried to help, they've done their best to help us understand what the impact could be by coming up with a range of anything between, and get ready for it, $10.5 billion between that amount and $45 billion in terms of impact. You know,
it could be somewhere between a broken leg and a heart attack then, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a bit of a stupid range, let's face it. But to be fair to them, it is virtually up with a figure that's even vaguely realistic, and so, you know, it often happens with things when there are natural disasters or pandemics, as we found, you know, when people try to say, oh, what's sort of a rough estimate of how much this is going to cost in claims and stuff like that, they're never right, these things, they are never right. So anyway, it's interesting. It clearly, the lesson here is it's could be absolutely massive. And I suspect that it's something that will hang over the shares of both GSK and Haleon for some time, until there's some clarity. And just to give you an idea of how that can look, there is another story in today's, in fact, the next story to that in Watson's Daily about Johnson & Johnson. So just to take you back, there is, they've got this very common products called the Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, which I would argue, like M&S underwear, is something that we will have either bought or used at some point, at least once in our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, when it came out that some women had alleged that it had given them cancer, so Johnson & Johnson had to pay out. They are still paying out. It is a massive nightmare. And, you know, this is something still on, it's still something they're paying out for. And I don't know if it will be quite as big as that, but it's still going to be a lot of money. If GSK's Zantac is found to, you know, these allegations are true. So they're suspending sales at the moment, pending investigation and testing, but it's not good. So like I say, any kind of, even if there is any upside, if they have any news on any other drug or whatever it is, that will get cut off at the knees by any further talk of, you know, of if it's carcinogenic. If it does prove to be that way, I expect the GSK and Haleon, especially GSK, share price to go down considerably from here. So yeah, very big subject, very serious potential impact. And I suppose in a way, you know, maybe from GSK's point of view, maybe this was good, this came out now rather than when it was trying to spin off Haleon and do the IPO. But I don't know. Anyway, it's a big problem.
It's an absolute shocker, isn't it? I get that pharmaceutical companies can't test drugs against every possible outcome, and I wouldn't even know how you'd go about testing whether something's potentially carcinogenic. And I get that obviously having something carcinogenic in it doesn't necessarily mean everybody that takes it is going to get affected, because people react different ways to carcinogens. But this, like I say, it's an absolute shocker. And the fact that Morgan Stanley can't come for range doesn't really surprise me, because, well, what can you compare this to in terms of an effect? The only thing I think of when we were talking earlier was the horrendous, and I apologise if anyone's still affected by this, that's listening to this, but the horrendous thalidomide scandal in the 70s is the only thing I could think of where a mainstream, taken by lots of people drug had a horrific effect that nobody knew about till afterwards. And I think in 1970-something, that the compensation just in the UK was somewhere in the region of £20 million for that, which I think I quickly typed into an inflation calculator is now about £180 million. I was across the UK. Zantac, the second I saw Zantac, I instantly knew what that drug was for. It's one of those names that I think a lot of people go, oh, stomach ulcers, Zantac. So who knows how many people this could affect, how many countries it could affect. And yeah, like I said, number one, Sandy, I haven't got a chance of actually putting a figure on this, which is why it's, I think, such a wide range. But if this comes out and it turns out to be as bad as it sounds, like I said, it's a shocker. And on similarly, if not worse levels than the Johnson & Johnson thing. So, awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful. I'm sitting there kind of praying in the back of my mind, this doesn't turn out as bad as this story looks like it could do. But who knows?
Indeed. So we'll have to wait for that. But like I say, there will be a cloud hanging over GSK for that. So I guess we'll finish there. But before I go, I'll just say to everyone that Watson's Daily, this podcast will be having a bit of a rest for the next 2 weeks. The reason being, I want to, there's a lot of strategizing going on behind the scenes at Watson's Daily, because I'm trying to improve what we do have, optimize what we do have, whilst also developing new useful stuff as well. And that requires time. Also, though, I really wanted to give my fantastic team of ambassadors a bit of a rest. You won't really be officially be hearing from us for the next 2 weeks. I may still do a podcast special with Ralph Hebgen, but he doesn't know this yet, so I've got to phone him up and ask him. But there may be something from Ralph and myself, but this daily, we won't be doing this until, and I'm just trying to look at the date, the 30th of, we won't be back until the 30th of August, which is a Tuesday, because Monday the 29th is a bank holiday. So anyway, officially we won't be back. You might see some things from me. The other thing as well, of course, is actually I'm going away on my first holiday for 10 years. So not next week, but the week after. So that's another reason why we're off. In terms of other things, Watson's Daily is going to be written. You know, I'm going to be writing Watson's Daily as normal next week because, you know, I'm going away after that. But like I say, in terms of social media content and things, you won't be seeing anything for the next 2 weeks. But anyway, there you go. So Watson's Daily is out next week. That's all fine. Everything else, you know, podcasts and all, everything on Instagram, nothing for 2 weeks. So I hope you won't miss us too much. We'll be back with renewed vigor, on August 30th. In the meantime,
hopefully some happier stories as well.
Well, indeed. Well, you never know. I might put some stories on Instagram as well, with me wearing Mickey Mouse ears potentially.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah.
Wondering around. It's a small world, right? That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for listeners for listening. If you like the podcast and want to rate the podcast highly, that would be really fantastic. We are a very small operation, really. And so, you know, all this kind of these kind words and things make a big difference. So thank you very much indeed for everyone. Thank you for listening. We will be back. And have a great week or two. Anyway, see you
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Bye. Bye.